live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect. A time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
It's another beautiful Tuesday down here in the Third Coast. And we've got an exciting guest. She's been with us before, and she is probably one of the most up-and-coming young psychic mediums in the world. And I know for a fact that she is, because I've been studying under her for the last 4 or 5 months, I think. So her name's Melissa Fry. You probably have heard of her. And we're going to have a great show. We're going to be taking your calls, and we're going to do some readings, and we're going to see where we go. So the number is 888-815-9756. While we're waiting on you, I wanted to talk to Melissa a little bit about her Indigo cards, because I think they're very exciting. And since she was on the show last time, they have been, what is the word I want to use? Well, John Holland has endorsed them. Thank you very much. So let's talk about these wonderful cards, because, you know, Melissa, you're a whole lot younger than I am. And we all went through, I think, a phase when we all had these natural instincts of speaking with spirit or talking to spirit. And, you know, you have a daughter that I think is in that mode. And I think it's something that really needs to be encouraged by families. And I think that your Indigo cards is something that, that really could help people with their young with their youngsters, really, try to encourage not closing the door like most of us did.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, with my, and thank you again for having me back on your show. I love it. I absolutely love your show. But the Indigo cards, you know, Susan, they've been really amazing to watch. I've hosted a couple of events now where I actually have children come and I teach the children how to use these deck of cards. And it's amazing because I always start the group out with each of them looking at the cards, holding them to their chest, connecting with each of the cards. And then from that point, what happens is then we go through each of the 22 cards and I ask the kids to interpret them. It's mind-blowing to see how these kids interpret the cards. They're so different, and what the children see through these cards are so unique and special. So they are really, really amazing. And then I have the kids basically at that point read for one another. So they'll ask a question saying, I'm having a problem at school. What do you think I should do? And then another child will pull the cards for the kid, for the other child, and they might get the angel card and something else. And then they learn how to articulate their feelings and what it is that they're seeing.
You know, it's pretty amazing because, you know, we ought to be doing this as old folks, because, mm-hmm. you know, we get out of this creative mode of where, you know, when we were in school and we were given these assignments and we were created and we drew and we did all these things. And looking back, and I don't know about you, but since I'm a pack rat, I have found some very interesting drawings that my family has saved that I did when I was a kid. And it's actually mind-boggling, and I don't know what goes on with all of us that, you know, we close this door and then we get to a point in our lives where we want to open the door again, and it's so much harder to reopen a door than to allow the door to stay open from our childhood through our adulthood. You know, I for one, you know, opened it when I was in my 20s, and by the time I was 30, I shut the door again, only to come back in my 50s and want to open it again.
Mm-hmm.
So, parents out there, you know, this is a time to really you know, work with your kids and encourage the creativity. And Melissa's cards are really a wonderful tool. I want to give out the number again. It's 888-815-9756. It's a toll-free number. If you have any questions for Melissa, myself, you want a reading. Melissa's background is actually in missing persons, actually. She does some pet readings as well, and also a full-fledged medium. I'm a genealogist. I try to connect us to our past. So if you have any questions about how to start, or if you are into genealogy, you've hit a brick wall, well, we can certainly entertain some of those questions too. So we're here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the other services that Melissa offers too, one of which I'm taking, and that is studying to be, studying to open up my skills again to become a medium, mm-hmm. and to be able to practice and use that in my case studies with genealogy. So let's talk about some of the other things
that
we should do.
I have to say, first of all, when you had approached me about wanting to reopen, bring back your gifts, what got buried away, and when you had asked me and told me about wanting to incorporate that with your genealogy work, the concept, the idea behind that is just amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing because there's so much work that's going to help you. So walking you through this process and watching you do this and it being your goal, it's amazing. It's really cool. It's cool to see what people take their gifts and create their own spin on them, because we all have a gift. And that's really what I just created. And I don't know if you know this or not yet, Susan, because it's kind of been a hush-hush thing, but I'm actually, I just started a full-fledged online university.
Oh, my goodness. So I guess it is hush-hush.
Well, that, and I moved out of the country, which you know, so I'm just now finally settling into my new home out of the country. But, I've been, like, busy working on it, and the actual launch date is now June 12th is when the first series of classes start. You can visit the website. It's www.mm2y, my mind to yours. So it's mm2y.com. And there's psychics, psychic intuitive certification courses, mediumship, pet psychic. I have another gal that's teaching goddess certification, angel certification. So it's like a full-fledged online university.
Cool. Maybe I need to be teaching some genealogy.
I think you do.
We could do that. That would be fun.
It would be fun. And, you know, and that's just it. It's taking your gifts, you know, Susan, and I feel like that this goes, a lot of people, when they start to wanting to explore their intuition or their psychic abilities or whatever it is that you're wanting to take a look at and reconnect with it, so many times people read books or they, you know, take classes or workshops or read 10 different books or whatever the case is, and they can't get it to work, or they don't have a really good experience because they might not be able to learn that way. One of the things that I feel is essential for each of us is each of us have unique gifts to ourselves. Each of us learn differently than how somebody else might. Somebody might be stronger clairvoyantly than clairaudiently, which is somebody might be able to see better and might not be able to hear through clairaudience. And so what I really, really tried to do with creating this, and as you know, working with you, is I really take your gifts, your skills, and hone them for you to be able to utilize them to your best.
I know that. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a good university. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went through, about 6 weeks, I think, and mm-hmm. Then we both had to take a little bit of a vacation, I think, because of moving. Yes. You're moving, and you know, it is amazing because you know, learning how to reopen these gifts is you know, truly, it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of, you know, working with someone who can, you know how to help draw it out. I mean, I've been a student of a lot of people, and you know, the classes that I've taken have been absolutely wonderful with mm-hmm. Colette Baron-Reed and, you know, a number of other people. But, you know, having that one-on-one with you over the six-week period was, you know, truly an incredible experience. And it gave me the confidence, I think, to know that I can apply this to my work and to my clients and to my clients' work. And, you know, there isn't a day that goes by where I don't simply amaze myself in how I can open mm-hmm. and shut some cases that, you know, when I first looked at them said, where in the world am I going to go with this? So mm-hmm. It's been very, very exciting. And, you know, I think that, we all need to do that now. So you have the university and mm-hmm. you also, have your radio shows, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm going, yeah, they'll be starting back up here in about 3 weeks. I've just been, you know, with moving and starting a brand new life, you know, in a different, completely different location. I just took a little bit of time off, so it's like getting back in the swing of things, and this is really the first radio show I've done in probably a month and a half, 2 months.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so,
are you still doing your readings on
one2listen.com? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm still doing readings on one2listen.com. I have actually this Thursday I'm teaching an intuition 101 over at 1-2 Academy, which is a telephone course. All my classes, obviously now since I live in the Yucatan, are all via telephone. Unless you live here in the Yucatan, then I'd love to meet you. But everything is through the phone. So I do have some really great, like, single classes. I have a basic intuition 101 where we just start doing some opening and starting getting in touch with your intuition and learning how to distinguish between the ego versus your intuition. How do you know if it's you? Because wouldn't you agree, Susan, in working with your gifts, that a lot of times it's easy to allow your ego to come into play and say, no, you're just making this up.
Exactly. And learning how to decipher between the two is, you know, really the hardest part. But mm-hmm. once you let it flow and you let it, once you get it right
mm-hmm.
and you let it flow, you make that connection about where the information is really coming from, and and you really do know whether it's coming from your head or from your gut, as I say. You know, if the information is really coming from spirit or coming from your ego or what it is you want it to be. So it does take a lot of practice to fine tune that sense and learning, you know, how to know. And that's a hard thing for any teacher to try to teach someone, in my opinion. I mean, it's, you know, because we're all obviously unique. And as you said, we all see, sense, feel, hear things differently. And, you know, trying to pull those things out and, you know, decipher them so that we know that we are tracking is an incredible gift that you have. So, it's very interesting, and one of the things, and I mean, since you guys aren't calling in, and I want you to call in, I'm going to give out that number. It's 888-815-9756, toll free, if you have any questions or want a reading or whatever. But, you know, the key is and I think we may have lost Melissa here, so hold on a minute. And while we see if we can get her back. And
I'm here.
You're back.
I'm back.
Okay. We lost you there for a minute.
It's okay. It's lost in internet land.
Yep. What I think I was saying, if I can remember back that far.
I can help. I can help. I'll just tap into my intuition. No, it is essential for your intuition. I don't know what you were just saying, but it is essential for you to be able to start off with the basics of being able to identify what's ego, what's not.
And one way to do that, too, when we were doing some of our sessions is, you know, you had me identify where I was getting the information from, whether I heard it, I felt it, I saw it. And that was really an interesting exercise, you know, when I was, you know, working through some of the cases that you gave is, you know, how did I got this piece of information, how did I get it? And it really made me stay very much in tune with whether I was hearing it, seeing it, feeling it. You know, and those were really the top three senses that I seem, you know, to use the most. So,
I would say that out of each of the senses, claircognizant, which is the knowing of the information,
right?
90% of us, everybody uses claircognizance. And if you're not sure what claircognizance is, the analogy I always use is, you know, it's that inner voice that speaks to you. It's gaining information without knowing. Like you said, when you're doing your genealogy work and all of a sudden something just hits you to look in this location, you have no clue why you should look at that location. You have no clue where it came from. You just know to find the missing piece of the puzzle to this case, I need to look here. It's the same in missing persons work. You know, where I'm on Google Earth trying to hone into where this person is, and I just sit there, and all of a sudden I'm like, this is where the person is. It's just the knowing, and the knowing in your daily life, driving out on your street, and you always make a right turn every day. You make a right turn to get to work. Something inside of you tells you, I need to go left today, and you go left. And then you might find out later on that there was a really big accident towards the right. So I feel like those, your intuition works, but claircognizance is, and claircognizance is the easiest to doubt because you don't have that tangible, concrete experience.
That's true. Well, unless you get pits in your gut, which I do sometimes, but, you know, and interestingly enough, it was a pit in my gut about 5 years ago that really sent me flying through because I knew better. I did something. It didn't work out. And, you know, if I get a pit in my stomach, I mean, that is probably like a tiger coming at me, you know, saying, wake up.
But that's you being connected to your body and understanding how you feel and what's going on for you. You being really in tune and you trusting that. Because how many times have you had that pit and decided not to trust it and then it's like, oh my goodness, why didn't I listen to myself?
One time in the last 5 years. It'll never happen again.
No. No, and clairaudience seems to be the hardest one, I feel, for the majority of people, and that's hearing, externally hearing, or being able to hear that inner voice within.
And, you know, and you mentioned that because there are really two ways of hearing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hear the voice of the person you're connecting with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about a lot of you out there, but I have a very strong spirit in my mother, and I hear her. I mean, I can be doing something, and I hear her, and I hear her say something to me, and I have to stop and say, okay, what am I doing? What am I thinking? I mean, she talks to me a lot, and I do hear the inner voice, too, and you know, it's, you know, we were working on a case, you know, for you or, you know, I was practicing on a case for you. And I heard things, and it was not the person, but it was hearing actually the words of what we were trying to you know, what the information was that I was trying to get. And it,
absolutely.
It came in the form of words being spoken, but it was not a voice from the individual that we were, you know, working with. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that I feel like, too, clairaudience is a really great thing. And what you said is really important, like to be able to, because we automatically feel if we are having a clairaudient experience that we have to hear that external voice. But that's not the case. That voice inside of your head, the one that would probably, you know, make most of us certifiably schizophrenic, but hearing that voice, because I know I felt crazy, when I hear it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm talking to myself again. Oh my goodness, I have to share something completely, totally kind of off topic that I just thought about. I hope you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Oh my gosh, so my daughter, she's 5. And, of course, it's been a really, really – she just turned 5 in April, and it's been amazing to be able to raise her and to explore her gifts and encourage them. So the other day – and I have a big Rottweiler. He's about 2 years old. His name's Archie. So the other day she tells me, she's like, Mommy, I think I could talk to dogs now. I could talk to dogs. So I got all excited. So I'm like, oh, very cool. And there's a lot of strays here on the streets. And so I'm like, okay, so we get to really start practicing this because this is the first time she's telling me that I could talk to dogs. So we sat down the other night, and I was like, okay, so let's just talk to Archie. And she sits there, and she's staring at him so intently. And she looks at me, and she's like, Mommy, I think I can't talk to Rottweilers, only Dalmatians.
Well, you need to send her over here. I have two.
I was laughing so hard. She's like, I can't talk to the Rottweiler, just Dalmatians. And she's like, maybe. And it was so funny. It was so funny. It's funny and it's amazing what comes out of the mouth of children. But, you know, just in that moment, and now she's into this whole, like, I can talk to the fish. I could talk to, you know, and really taking that stuff and really allowing it to grow. To go back to the Indigo Kid workshop days that I do, it's amazing because, believe it or not, Susan, when I hold those classes, majority of the age group is 9 years old, and you're not going to believe this, but the majority of kids that come are boys. Ooh. I have more boys that come to my Indigo workshops than girls. Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
And they're all 9. 9 is like this hot age. But what's really interesting is looking at somebody who's like my daughter who's 5, who hasn't been influenced by any, you know, that hasn't been influenced about having to cover up her gifts. So, you know, we talk to the fish. We look crazy out there sometimes, but we talk to everything, you know, to allow her to be able to express herself. But looking at these 9-year-old kids now, you can see already the shift when they're working with the Indigo cards, how they've already started to turn off what they were born with based on how they perceive things and based on how confident they feel on sharing their feelings about it. Does that make sense?
Kinda.
Okay. What doesn't make sense?
I guess there was something that you said about the shift.
Yes.
About.
And okay.
I guess it was backwards from the way I see it. I see it as a, you know, that we're born with this openness and this freedom, mm-hmm, and this creativity and this awareness. And I guess the way that and. I guess I didn't understand the shift concept because
Okay. You
don't want to shift out of it. You want to...
Right, right. So what I'm saying is, so you take Parker, right? She's my daughter. She's 5. So she's just trucking right along, right? Because we obviously, I'm not going to shut her gifts down. I'm going to enhance them and work with them. But here comes another kid, right, whose parent hasn't really known what to do with their gifts or how to. So, like, you take this little boy who now comes to me, and he's already 9 years old, right?
Right.
And when he comes to me as 9 years old, you can see that a shift of him closing his gift down has already started.
Okay, that's
because of, Yeah, because of school, because of, you know, it's so interesting because I have a little booklet with the cards, and I always tell the kids, throw the booklet away, put it behind you, and let's see what the card tells you. And immediately each of those kids want to read the booklet because that's the right way to do it. So you can see how their freedom of feeling, exploring, allowing themselves to see where they're drawn to be is slowly dissipating because in school we read, we follow directions, we do things very in an order.
Right. And this is what makes it so hard for those of us who are trying to reach back. I mean, you know, it's one thing to reach back when you're 9. It's another thing to reach back.
Exactly. So you're taking, and that's a significant shift for a 9-year-old compared to a 5-year-old.
Right.
And we'll take this example. I hope you don't mind, but
sure.
I think there was a brother and a sister who came and took my class. The brother was 9. The brother was 9, and his sister was 6. And
okay.
So the brother was more outgoing than the sister. He was a lot more fun, a lot more animated. When it came down to what do you see in this card, in this cat card, what do you see, he had such a hard time articulating or seeing past the cat. The cat card is a cat walking on a fence.
Okay.
And he says, the cat's just walking on the fence. That's what I see. You take his 7-year-old sister six-year-old sister who's not really started school yet, who's still, her imagination is just, you know, running. She tells me what I see is I see a cat. He's not sure what he wants to do. He's looking over the fence. Her story is much larger because she's more in tune with her gifts.
Right. I got that. That is amazing.
It is. And that's where we need to get back to as adults.
Exactly. And you know, your deck of cards for kids, and I mean, all the there's so many Oracle decks out, you know, today. I mean, John Holland has a great set. Colette Baron Reed has several good sets. You know, and it's the imagery of looking past the you know, looking really more into the imagery and the symbolism of each of the cards and not worrying about the book, is which makes them, you know, really, you know, very powerful. You know, it is something that we get hung up on and we get, stuck in our ways and, you know, we see things as we're supposed to see them rather than as we maybe really want to see them. And this is where I think we get stuck in our life paths and in some of our soul journeys is that we do things because that's what we're supposed to do or we see things the way we're supposed to see them and we don't really open ourselves up to see things the way they're supposed to be.
Right.
And we don't always know what they're supposed to be. You know, and you go back into the genealogy and the study of our ancestors and the study of people's lives of the past, which is really what we're doing. And we look at, you know, their lives and the lessons and the patterns and the different things. And, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again is that over the centuries and the millenniums, you know, the whole spirituality of life really took a nosedive, I think, since the early Greeks and Romans and some of the early days. And I, you know, sometimes wonder if, you know, the whole concept of organized religion may not have had, you know, something to do with that. And we were forced to believe and forced to see things in a specific way. And that, you know, that's why we have so many people breaking out of that into the spiritual world, or the spiritualist churches and those kinds of things, because it has a lot more freedom of thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go back into, I don't know. I mean, I know in our country, I was talking to a neighbor yesterday, and you know, she was very upset because they, you know, we live in the Bible Belt, I guess you might call it that. And there was an afternoon session after school that they were forcing the kids to go to, and she didn't understand what was going on, but it had some sort of a religious overtone. And within 30 minutes, she went and took her kid out because there was something gnawing at her. But by the time she had gotten there, within 30 minutes, they had already told these kids that if you don't believe in this, you will go to hell. And if you don't believe in this, and, you know, 2 years later, the daughter is still having nightmares over it, because it's totally not in tune with the keeping of this family. It's not in tune with the keeping of the parents. And, you know, it is kind of frightening that, you know, these things are happening, even in today's environment where we're supposed to have separation of, you know, schools and church and religion and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's very true. And all of that is just a catalyst of us being able to take what we have and what we are born with and just push it down. And then at one point in your life, you either wake up or you don't. And you know, I feel like as though that we could do so much more for the world. I mean, the economy. I mean, however you want to look at it, if we were just all more conscious and not creating that's one of our biggest reasons, Susan, that we moved out of the country. And not to say that the United States is, you know, bad or you can't find that anywhere else, but the culture that we were living in, we wanted to raise our daughter in a different environment. We wanted to raise her in an environment where she could be free to be who she wanted to be.
Exactly, and I think that's really what a lot of us are looking for. Melissa, ready to take a call?
Sure.
We've got Rhonda on line two from California.
Okay.
Rhonda?
Hello.
Hey,
hi, Rhonda.
Hi. I just was sitting here doing some book work, and I had listened to Coda Robles, Patricia, and your show came up, and it really caught my ear, and so I wanted to just check in, because I'm kind of working myself with trying to reinitiate some of those gifts of from childhood that, you know, were kind of shoved in a closet because of fear and because of, you know, just not the non-acceptance of those gifts, you know, in our current society. So I'm just curious and searching and wondered what you might be able to help me with.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Oh.
No, you go. You're the teacher.
Okay.
I'm the catalyst.
So, Rhonda, I think that's great. I really feel that's great as far as you trying to get back into that place of searching for bringing that back into your life. Do you realize, like, what the difference between in your life, like claircognizance or hearing or seeing things? Do you have experiences like that, or are you just starting?
Well, when I was a child, I would say it was visual and also clairsentience. And I was a body worker for over 20 years, and I know that I could feel, you know, what was going on with people in their bodies. And one of my difficulties is taking that feeling from kind of being able to take that feeling and bring it out into more clarity where you can understand what it is you're feeling and also that I just feel a lot of what's going on in the world and not being able to put words to it or put, you know, thought to it and what do I do with this feeling and, you know, these feelings that I've got kind of an empathic feeling that sometimes it can be very draining. And so trying to get clarity on
sounds like you're someone else right now.
You know, Rhonda, you know, something that just comes to mind, you know, when you're an empath like that and you feel everything, and plus having the experience of doing body work, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind would be, you know, getting involved in healing and in all shapes and forms, whether it's physical, you know, Reiki and those
right.
kinds of things, and
right.
energy healing, and
right, which I've become involved in all of, you know, quantum touch and Reiki, and over the years, and cranial sacral work, and yeah,
and you know, and then merging some of that with some of the other things, I think is a very exciting thing. I took when I first started studying about 2 years ago, or two years ago, I went and took Reiki and some energy healing, and that was not my thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I did it because I was going to try everything to see if I could find where I needed to be and where I wanted to be. But, you know, there are so many people that are in such pain and agony, and some of the pain and the agony that is emotional pain, it redistributes itself into physical pain. And
right.
having that kind of skill, you know, to me is something I would love to be able to do. It's just not me.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rhonda, I have a task for you.
Yes.
I have homework for you. If you don't,
okay.
if anybody knows me, they know I love giving homework.
Oh, yeah.
I do. So, because I feel like, Susan, what you said is absolutely true. It's right. I mean, but I also understand, if I hear you correctly, and if I'm tuning in correctly, you want to be able to articulate and know exactly what that is, or those feelings, or how to articulate what it is that you feel, and then be able to see a clearer picture of it.
Right, and, you know, maybe to remove blocks that are there that, you know, I've been doing some exploring to see, well, what if I, you know, what are the blocks that I've set up that are keeping me from having that full clarity?
Let me give you the homework first, and then I'll tell you
okay.
about your blocks. So,
okay.
as far as what your homework should be, and what I'd like to see you do is to, when you have the feeling, like to dedicate a certain amount of time, whether it's 10, 15 minutes, or whether it's periodically throughout your day, when you experience something, when you're having that feeling, write it down. Okay?
Okay.
Like, just write down, what was the situation, what was my environment, and what was the feeling? Have you done this before?
Not quite that, you know, being that conscious of it, no. You know,
okay.
I'll do it if I'm setting aside time for meditation or whatever and you know, really tuning into what I'm feeling at that point. But no, I get kind of zoned out and I just do my day and I just get, you know, impacted by a feeling and don't really know. So this is
okay.
actually really paying attention to that feeling.
Right, because what you're gonna find, Rhonda, is you're going to find that paying attention, seeing what's around you, seeing and being really conscious of what's happening and what that feeling mm-hmm. is, you're going to start to see a pattern. And your
okay.
feelings are going to start to speak to you. So you're going to be able to say, like, oh, my goodness, I see the pattern. When I feel this or when this happens, this is the same consistency of what's been going on. And that's going to be able to allow you to understand what's happening and what you're feeling and be able to see it clearly and then be able to articulate it.
Oh, that's great.
So try that for like a week. Try it for a week and
okay.
see what happens. And just, you know, keep a little notepad with you. And the
mm-hmm.
more conscious we are of what's around us, the more you're going to experience it and the more clarity you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Great. Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
And as far as like your blocks and what you have going on or what you have, you know, in front of you and you being able to see it, is that it just feels like, for me, like on an intuitive level, it feels like there needs to be a little bit more lightness in your life, a little bit more play, a little bit more fun, a little bit more bridging that gap to like a little kid, getting out in the nature thing, just having a little bit more internal fun.
Well, that sounds good.
And feeling safe. Yeah. I mean, it's not horrible. Get out and play. You know, I mean, it's not a horrible thing. But it's that internal playing, that's that internal fun, and it's that internal feeling safe.
Yeah. I think the fear thing has been that I've picked up on things in the past that weren't safe. And probably when I was a kid, you know, I was really that's not safe, you know, and to feel those things or see those things. And I have seen and experienced some things that didn't not feel safe. And maybe that's one reason why, I blocked off part of that perceptive abilities.
Well, you know, I'm going to jump in here, too, because I'm a student. And one of the things that the mentors and the teachers I have worked with is that if you're getting unsafe things, that's not coming from spirit. And, you know, because spirit only, you know, if you're really touching in and tapping into it, is going to give you the information and for your highest and greatest good and for the highest and greatest good of your clients or the people that you work for. So if you're tapping into that kind of thing, then you know, there's something that's not coming from spirit at all.
Where is it coming from? You know, is that an imaginary thing, or is it, you know, is there a lower?
It's usually coming from our goblin, internal goblin, and our fear. And our fear of letting go.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Melissa knows her, but, you know, probably one of the greatest intuitives out there is Colette Baron-Reed, and you can find her on Hay House Radio, and she does these workshops all the time about getting in touch with the goblins, our goblins. And I happened to take an intensive with her about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, really working with those, that goblin and loving that goblin and putting that goblin to sleep is really where you begin to open up some of your intuitive,
And that,
really open.
That goblin being like the ego, would it be, you know, in conjunction with the ego or, you know?
Yeah, it's part of you. It's, one of the things that when I first started getting into this, and I'm going dating myself back into the mid-70s, there was a book called Inner Guide Meditation. And in that book, they taught you how to, you know, connect with your spirit guide. And then really it was like having, my friends used to tell me I had, had these multiple personalities. But the concept was that you were supposed to make friends with all these different parts of you. Some were male, some were female. And, you know, you were supposed to give them gifts and they would give back gifts. And, you know, there was a period of time I was going through some very terrible, hellacious things. And, you know, I just turned everything over to all these different pieces of me. And at night I'd give them assignments. And lo and behold, they got them all done. It was pretty amazing stuff. But, you know, the goblin is, you know, if you have a fear, then you need to, that's a goblin. And that's
right.
A part of you that you need to love and nurture and find out why it's fearful and, put it to sleep and give it the love that it needs. And that's kind of the concept. Melissa?
Interesting.
I agree. I mean, I believe, like, as far as, actually, that's the first time I've heard about that. That way that it's been interpreted, and I like the whole idea, because I feel like when we bring in or we have like that energy that's around us or we have something come in that doesn't feel good,
right.
It has to do with if I'm getting ready to go into a setting, if I'm getting ready to go into a reading or a class or whatever it is, a missing persons case, whatever it is that I'm going to do, and I have a fear about going in it, what I'm doing is I'm opening myself up and allowing that fear to run. Well, any kind of icky energy or energy that's not the, you know, of white light, spirit, love, light, has an opportunity to come in because I'm in a place of fear.
Exactly.
And so yeah, that's where I really say, helpful. And that's where I say, if I'm living in a place of, everyone's going to have fear. I mean, an example
right.
is, you know, I've been moving for, you know, getting ready to move out of the country and did this move. You know, this is the first time, and I've been doing radio for quite some time now, but I haven't been on radio, like I said, for a while. And so the show's getting ready to start and I'm getting nervous. I'm like, oh my goodness, I haven't done this. It's like, you know, oh. And, you know, it's only been a short while of time, but it's like if I would allow that, you know, there is natural fear and being scared that comes into play, or your nerves.
Well, we but were both too freaking out, people.
I know. So it's like, but if you allow all that, if I would have stayed in that fear place, I'm opening up that window for, you know, some nasty negative energy to come in. So that's where I was saying to you that for you, it's like you need to have, Rhonda, that fun, but feeling safe,
right.
allowing yourself, like, let me explore this, take a class, do something, do your little homework, your fun during the week to get better in tune, but know that you're in a safe place. If you allow yourself to be in that safe place, then the fear doesn't come in, and then all that, whatever that icky stuff out there. You know, I always say this to people because people ask, you know, you must bring home a lot of spirits or a lot of ick because I do house clearings.
Yeah.
I go in and do house, quote-unquote, haunting stuff and all that. And I've never, Rhonda, brought home anything negative, not once.
So you just focus on, you know, the positive aspects of it.
Positive.
What do you do with the fear if it, like, pops up right there, you know, as
what
you're going into, say, a missing persons or a... clearing a home.
What I do is that if I have that experience pop up where I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm you know, because Rhonda, I'm a big baby. I hear footsteps coming down my hallway and I hide under the covers and I'm like, oh my gosh, something's in the house. But I have no problem going into years and figuring out what's going on. You know,
right.
But what I do is if I know it's funny. My husband's all like, go look, and I'm like, no, I can't. But the thing is that what I do, as soon as that fear, because that natural, there's a difference between fear and just being nervous, acknowledging mm-hmm. it, being conscious of what my fear or why am I scared. So if I'm getting ready to go into the situation and really dig deep on a conscious level and say, what am I really afraid of here? I'm afraid that something might happen that I don't know how to handle. So what's the solution to that fear? Well, maybe I need to have somebody on the phone with me while I walk through this that might better be able to be more equipped to handle this. I find a solution. I figure out what the cause in my fear is. Once mm-hmm. I can identify what the true cause of my fear is, I find a solution for that fear so the fear is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's excellent. Absolutely. That's excellent.
And
well, I know I've been keeping you gals on quite
it's
a
okay.
bit.
I think these are all really valid questions.
Else. Yeah. Well, I sure appreciate both of your input, and I'll do my homework and see where it takes me. I've also written down your online institute, so you may be hearing from me there as well, and I just want to thank you both for your time.
Rhonda, our pleasure.
Have a great day.
Again, the number, if you want to call in, is 888-815-9756. I've got Melissa Fry on the phone and on the show today with me, Susan King, so we'd love to hear from you.
We're two chatty Cathys, aren't we?
Oh, we could go on for hours, I think. Gary. I was a nervous wreck, too, because I haven't done the show in a couple of weeks because I've had equipment problems. So, in fact, I've been having equipment problems since the first of the year when I put Windows 7 on my machine. But that's okay.
Really?
I went and bought all new equipment except for the computer, and still everything didn't work.
Hmm.
So I finally figured out last week what the cause of it was, and was a little bit over my head, but we worked it out, and I think we're having a good, technically good
show.
So
did you totally freak out when my thing hung up? When I got disconnected, I was like, oh my gosh, what happened?
I was freaking out when I didn't hear from you this morning. I said, now I've got a really, all my equipment's working, I think. And where's Melissa?
You know what? The truth be told, I was at the beach.
Well, you know, if I was where you were, I'd be down there too.
No, and it's funny because we've been really trying to just get there, and it's funny because my energy needed that shift, my being needed that shift. So it's like now I have my routine where I go out in the morning and I sit at the beach and I really get grounded and really get centered, and I allow and acknowledge whatever my fears are. But it was about an hour before the show, I was like, oh my goodness, I haven't been on a show, and oh my goodness, I'm getting nervous and I'm scared, and you know, all that normal like stuff just happens, and it's like, it's okay. I mean, it's okay. It's like, so what's my fear? I mean, really, what is it? Why am I nervous?
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I get this little fear that pops up every Tuesday around an hour before the show starts, and I'm wondering, okay, are the guests going to show up? You know, is my equipment going to work? You know, am I going to be able to think on my feet? Am I going to be able to remember words that are supposed to be at the, you know, there's always a fear, and even as a public speaker, you know, I always had, you know, that fear. And as a musician, I mean, my gosh, you know, I've played thousands and thousands of gigs, and you know, right before we go on, you know, I wonder if I'm going to be able to hit a note. I mean, you know, it's
wild.
We all have these fears.
I know.
Once the first song starts, or, you know, the music comes in and you start talking, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that too even is just valid for just the whole thing of fear. It's like it's okay to have natural fear. It's okay to be nervous or to have that. It's just about like not letting it snowball into something far greater than you are. You know,
right.
And I think that's like where it has to stop. You know, and acknowledging.
Yeah, and I mean, for example, you know, I mean, when you have a fear and things aren't working right, you know, you start wondering, well, you know, maybe I just won't do the show anymore. And that's not the right thing. You just have to work through it. And like you say, you really have to work through it. I mean, don't think things, you know, haven't crossed my mind a couple of times because, you know, the technical issues were just driving me, you know, insane, as it was the radio station. So.
You know what, though? That's the beauty of internet radio. You know, in internet itself, it just is what it is. But, you know, I feel as though that, you know, that as far as looking, and I just, for like your listeners that are like getting back into that place of looking at their intuition or bringing back their gifts or incorporating that back into their lives, there's a fear. And you know, the most important thing is find yourself a good teacher. Find yourself somebody that you trust. Find yourself somebody that you connect with. Find yourself in a really safe environment and just start to slowly experience it. Because like I said, I mean, it doesn't have to be a scary experience.
No. And I mean, as we discussed, you know, I mean, I wasn't afraid of it for the longest time back in the 70s. I mean, I was definitely very different, and it was, you know, not mainstream as mainstream as it is today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I scared myself and I closed the door.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, I wonder what would have happened to my life, you know, over those 25 years had I not shut the door the way I shut the door. So, yeah, let this be a word of warning to any of you out there who are a lot younger, you know, and, you know, don't shut the door. You know, there are ways to deal with it, you know, where you don't have to, you know, be totally afraid. But I did. I scared myself and didn't have a a place to go to find out why I was, you know, what was going on. And that really was what happened. It was just,
right.
I was getting information, and it was accurate information, and I didn't know how to channel it, and I didn't understand what was going on.
Uh-huh.
As a child, when we get that, you know, it's just, you know, part, we didn't deal with the ego side of,
right,
of it. But when we're older like that, we begin to wonder, you know, what's going on. And again, you know, the 70s were not, you know, very, very open to this kind of thing as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Agreed.
You know, and we're fortunate. And then, and on the other side of it, you know, the more people that will begin to open up, I think the better the world will be. I mean, we really have we have an angry earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me started. We could talk for a whole nother hour about that.
You know, I mean, when I was starting to think about where I wanted to be,
mm-hmm,
one day, you know, I started scratching things off, but all of a sudden within the last 4 months, there are all kinds of things that have gone on that, you know, were not in places that I would have scratched off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you stay away from hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes? You know, I mean, it's just like there's almost no place to get away from it. First, I said, I just don't want to be in Hurricane Alley anymore. But, my God, after, you know, this year, I mean, starting in January, it's just been an incredible earth that is screaming at us. I mean, just screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is. That,
and
I agree.
You know, we've really got to settle down and focus on you know, being better human beings and better people, and, you know, really sharing our gifts and our love and our understanding, and really going back to what I do for a living, and, you know, going through forgiveness and forgiving those that came before us instead of, you know, harboring the resentment that we have about our parents and our mothers and our fathers, you know, that some of us have. And,
right,
you know, really just letting go of a lot of things, and including, you know, letting our ancestors be at rest and you know, really going through forgiveness. I don't know if you've had an opportunity, and I guess they're going to be rerunning, but there's been a TV show on NBC called Who Do You Think You Are? And they've had 8 stars, and ranging from Susan Sarandon to Emmett Smith, ranging from all kinds of Salem witchcraft trials research to slavery and beyond. And, you know, when you look at these shows, and I know you can get them off the NBC website and look at them on the internet, you know, you look to a deeper meaning of what really went on, you know, as people learned about their history and their family history and in the eyes of these stars. And, you know, Susan Sarandon went through an incredible forgiveness of her grandmother, because she hated her grandmother for the way she treated her mother. And when she did the research, she found out that the grandmother had such a terrible life and had so much loss and turmoil as a growing up and having to take care of 2 brothers and a brother drowning, that, you know, all of a sudden, by understanding that, she was able to forgive her grandmother. And this is why, you know, genealogy to me is so important, because there's a message in every life. Mm. And by learning about those messages, you know, we can heal, going back to Rhonda. I mean, you know, forgiving is healing. There are so many things that allow us to heal,
mm-hmm,
that we don't allow ourselves to do. But, you know, when you're at the computer, Melissa, just go to, you know, I think it's NBC, and I think they're it's called Who Do You Think You Are, and I think they have the reruns of the shows that aired this year, and it's been renewed for another season. So we'll find out, I guess, who the stars are going to be for that show, for that series.
Nice.
But it is, you know, made put genealogy actually on the map, and hasn't hurt my business any. Thank goodness. So I think we're getting down to the end of the hour. So Melissa,
yes.
You want to reread all your websites so people know how to get to you?
Sure.
I'm going to let you do it, then me try to do it.
Okay. So it's my personal website is www.melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Frey, F as in Frank, R-E-I.com. There you'll find the Indigo cards. You'll see a sample booklet, all the artwork, where I do my readings at over at 1-2-Listen. Where my radio show will be held at. But that's all my information. If you're interested in about, and where you'll find out more classes like my Intuition 101, Mediumship 101, Automatic Writing classes, it's all over there. And then if you're interested about the university of taking a course and becoming certified, that's over at www.mm2y.com. I can list more, but I think that's okay for now.
I think they can find you.
You can find me.
And you can also find her on Facebook.
Uh-huh. I'm on Facebook, always on Facebook. Lots of great pictures of my journey.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad we had a chance to reconnect after all these weeks, and I look forward to starting back up working with you again, which I hope we will be doing this week.
Yes. I didn't get back to your email, but Friday would work.
Friday's good. Okay, cool.
So.
I am ready. In any
okay.
event, great show. Melissa, thanks for being
Thank
with
you.
Me. And we'll
Thank
do this
you.
Again, I think, sooner than we had this gap the last time.
Great.
And especially after the university gets started, we'll get back together.
Cool.
Anyway, stay tuned. Next week on Tuesdays, it's where genealogy and spirit connect. I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Let go of those fears. Open yourself up. Be creative. And have a wonderful week.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susanEKing.com.